that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel. Gonna roll around once more. When it does.
And when it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that
will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We welcome you here this Saturday morning, November 27th, the Saturday after Thanksgiving. We've got a full crew for you this morning, and we'll bring everybody on. And Jason, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Zach, good morning.
Good morning.
And good morning to Nebraska. Tim, welcome back. Good to have you on this morning. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
And we say the same thing to you, the remnant. We thank you for joining us, and we say good morning this beautiful fall morning. No snow out here at the Radio Ranch. It's a dry, droughty type out here in this part of the West, but looks like it's going to be a beautiful sunrise here in just a few minutes. And so we do thank you, Remnant, for joining us from sea to shining sea, north, south, east, and west. And we'll have the phone lines open this morning. If you have a question or a comment, we'd be glad to take your call. But we always try to open up with prayer. We hope you do that. We hope you've already opened up your day with prayer. Jason, we'll ask you if you would say a prayer for us this morning. Get us going.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for this day that you've given us. And we ask, Father, that you shine your face down upon us, Father, that you look over us, that you guide us, that you direct us, that you be with us, that you attend to our needs, Father. And we pray for that, Father, for us as a people across this land that are bought and chosen. And we're your brand. Lord, we come before you and we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over this nation, Father. And we ask that you be with your remnant, Father, that you raise up a remnant stronger and stronger, Father, that you war with those that war against us, that you fight with those that fight against us. And Father, those that dig a pit for us, Father, we call for them to be the ones that fall into it. We pray, Father, for those evil, wicked ones, Father, for them to be brought down and to be chastised by you. Father, we lift up your people, and we ask, Father, for blessings to overflow from your throne, for their cup to overflow with blessings, as you tend to your sheep. All for these things to be done in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Well, there wasn't much said about it in the media, but this year was the 400th anniversary of Thanksgiving. It was 1621, 400 years ago, that the Pilgrims first, they had gotten through their starving winter and had an abundance and had what we read about in The Light and the Glory and what used to be taught in the public when it was a school system instead of a public fool system, the Thanksgiving. And 400 years. And boy, if that doesn't kind of make you sit up and take notice regarding the 400 plus years that the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt, I don't know what does. I think that you know, the Bible certainly uses numbers that way, and the times that we're in, I think that they allude to that as well. But didn't hear much about it, other than just, you know, I think the biggest headlines I saw were that prices are up, fuel's up $1.20 a gallon from this time last year, nationwide average, and that it seemed like the biggest headline was the smash and grabs that were going on and the mall shootings and those type things. That's what the media is covering. But there's more going on than just what you see on the headlines, folks. There is. And hope everybody had a blessed Thanksgiving with friends and family, and took an opportunity to be thankful, to say a prayer and to share with others, you know, what we have. And we do have so much to be thankful for, and the things that we are thankful for here. And that is pleasing to God when we do that. Was looking this morning, I Psalms 90, I think it was 93, maybe it was 92. Just read it this morning, I guess. Anyway, it was somewhere in there, but it was, you know, just glorifying God. Glorifying God and thanking Him for all that we have. And, you know, I don't know about you, but it seems like across this nation that enough people don't do that. Psalms 98 says, "Sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done wonderful things." And He is continuing to do wonderful things, regardless of if this world that we're in recognizes it or not. Anyway, that was kind of on my mind this morning. Just again, hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving with friends and family, took a moment to say thank you, Lord.
Yeah, I know that's what we did here. It was a good day. Everybody had a good Thanksgiving here, and hope everybody did out there. Tell you what, we got this Thanksgiving story. It was one of the first brochures that Pastor Peters ever wrote, and it was on the Thanksgiving story. And fantastic, really good information. We redid it a couple of years ago and put it into a brochure. And if you haven't got that brochure, pamphlet, it reads like a story, and good information on it. If anybody out there hasn't read it, they need to get a copy of it. We'll send it to you free of charge. It you know, talks about that, the first Thanksgiving and the Pilgrims and why we celebrate Thanksgiving, and ties it in with a scriptural perspective. We also do have it now on a digital format that we can email to you. So we can email it to you, but get it. The thing I like about the email version of it is there's the three messages. There's the three audio messages that you can click and listen to the audio on Pastor Peter's three messages on Thanksgiving, which are phenomenal. And I was talking last night with my brother about it and telling him about it, and he read it, and he's like, I remember I was at church when he preached this message on Thanksgiving, and he's like, this brought back a lot of memories. And that was a lot of years ago, so that was pretty encouraging. But I know that there's been a lot of people that we sent it to that really enjoyed it.
Yes.
So if you want that, shoot us an email. Tell us to send it to you. We can drop it in the mail to you, or we can email it to you. It's really neat and worth reading, and encourage people to at this time of year to understand true history, not what they're portraying now, but go back to the roots and get some true history, because it's a lot different than what they tell you really happened.
That's right. You know, one little tidbit out of that, Jason, just came to mind was like Squanto. You know, Squanto showed up. He walks in. The Pilgrims are there, and here comes this big. You can imagine probably a big burly Indian comes walking up, and they don't really know what to expect. And you know what he says? He walks up and he says, "You got any beer?" That's a true story. That's from the history book, The Light and the Glory. And there's a lot more to that, because he had been captured and taken, and you know, it was all in God's plan. It was all in God's plan. But you can imagine. Maybe you can't, but just try to imagine the Pilgrims there, and they're in a foreign land, this new wilderness that they have to carve out a life in, and here comes this Indian, and the first thing he says is, "You got any beer?" And, you know, I don't know if they had any beer or not, but I bet they got some for him. And it is. And so, like you said, Jason, the true history, it's much better than the mess that they put it out of that fool system today. It really is. It reads like the Bible stories of old, the way God had paved a way and provided and all the things that he did, and how the Pilgrims understood. Man, they understood communism wouldn't work eventually. They understood that they were brought to know that socialism wouldn't work, but capitalism and the freedom to do what you wanted to do, of course, within God's law, and that's what worked. And so it is that article you talked about, Jason, Thanksgiving, the true story, is a great summation of it, with references book, references to books like The Light and the Glory that tell the true history of this nation. Yeah, we've got it available for you. We'd be glad to send it to you, especially here on the 400th anniversary of that first Thanksgiving. So, well, Tim, how about a Nebraska update? I know you've had a lot going on. We haven't, I haven't been able to talk to you for quite a while. How are things there in Nebraska?
Oh, everything's just been going along good. God is good. You know, things have been great. We've continued to, there's kind of been a spat of a little flu or something going around here that's probably, you know, a mutation off of this immunization of some kind, but people are handling it well, and I'm amazed at how many people are wising up to some of that. But had a wonderful Thanksgiving here. We've had the weather has been moderate for this time of the year. I mean, it's been in the 50s and we're dry, but you know, it's what I see mostly that's really encouraging to me is I see people coming out of the woodwork with common goal and purpose in mind. We're seeing a rebirth of our nation toward national pride and sovereignty, and they're looking for the leadership of the Heavenly Father. I mean, we're seeing that go on. It's really interesting how that people are working together and getting around things, and you know, if they're out there by themselves at first, they're kind of depressed about things, and then as they realize, hey, I've got this support group here that's just, I've got an alliance, I've got a team that's unstoppable, you know, and God's the head of the team, and all we got to do is work together, and they can't stop us. And I think we see that. I was thinking about the Thanksgiving story, and we've seen that back then. Not only was liberty the key to their survival and to their ability to do that, but when you work together with people who believe like you do, or people who have common interests and goals, with God at the helm, it's an unstoppable juggernaut. I mean, once it starts moving, there's blessings. The blessings will flow. And you were talking about Bible verses, and the one I thought of this morning was Colossians 3:16. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." And you know, when I'm in a really good mood, and when things are going well, and your heart just kind of, you know, from somewhere up inside you, that music, that, you know, praise God songs, they just kind of come out, don't they? I mean, it's like that's kind of where we're at. I am grateful that. I'm grateful that God has made a way for his people. We're not collateral damage. And he will continue to do so. And we need to be thankful for that, you know. When we see that kind of stuff, it's an opportunity to thank God. And the more thankful we are, the more responsive he is, I think. And it just all... it just all comes out that way. I mean, a wonderful opportunity all around us right now to unlearn and relearn. I mean, we talk about homeschool for our kids and educating them, and a lot of people right now who are homeschooling or taking this over, they went to these public education systems. God's homeschooling them right now. You know, about home and family and yes, how to make that all work.
Amen to that. Amen. Well, Zach, how are things up in the great white north?
Well, if you're willing to work, there's more work than you could possibly handle.
Yes, yes.
Those that are not willing to work, I don't really know what to tell you. Like you said earlier, Richard, those people, what they called? They were just running into stores and stealing stuff for Black Friday, like they were hitting Home Depot and stuff like that. I mean, yeah, stealing's wrong, but it was Home Depot. I just think of how many mom and pop lumber stores aren't in existence anymore because they got those guys. They outpriced them and they put them out of business. So I kind of feel bad in one way for the mental state of those people doing the stealing. But in another way, that's kind of a catch-22 in my mind. This Thanksgiving, we here in America have much to be thankful for, because if you know anything that's going on in Austria and Australia and Germany, like especially in Australia, they're going around and they're rounding up the unvaccinated people and putting them into separate areas, and they're doing it by force. Why are they doing it by force? Because I don't think those people are armed. And that kind of thing isn't really happening here in the United States. Yeah, you know, you got that kind of thing going on with, you know, mandates in New York and L.A. saying that you can't go into a restaurant if you don't show a vaccine, proof of your vaccine, status. But then I just say to that, you know, Those people need to go out of business. If they're going to comply with that sort of mentality, then we as people need to start voting and combating them with our labor. Let's not spend any of our money there. I don't need to go to that place if that's what you're going to tell me to do. I'll go to my local place there and deal with my neighbors and eat at their restaurant, because I actually want them to survive more than these big chain people. So, you know, we need to, I actually think we need to get into our mental frame of mind that we are combating with our money. And, you know, and I'm not saying that every dime that I spend is, you know, is not into the big machine, but if they're not making any money to them, then screw them. You know, they're going to go down. So, but I'm going to sit there and make sure that my neighbor in that small business, because that's what this country is like. We're talking about Thanksgiving is the freedom of choice and the capitalism. And we don't need to rely on this big machine. We need to set up, like, take a look at the Amish. What do? They have their own systems of getting their own product. They deal with their own people and they sell it, and they're flourishing. And, you know, we could take some good lessons from them. But, you know, look at our brothers in Australia, what they're going through. And, you know, they're looking at us and what are we going to do? And, you know, it was said earlier, like, people are looking towards God. And we as the remnant have the answers, and we need to be out there, and we need to be, you know, teaching people properly of how to conduct their lives. And I'm not just, I mean, in everything, in always, I mean, because the greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself, and, or the second, excuse me. And we need to really, really hold that close to our hearts and exercise that.
Amen.
And make that happen, you know. So it's exciting times. We're in America, and we still have a lot of freedoms, and don't give them up. Don't give them up. And, you know, freedom's not free, and, you know, I say we fight with our money. That's where we're at right now, fight with our money. And Amen. There's a lot of ways that you can do that.
Amen to that. You know, Revelation 18:4 says, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people, so that you will not participate in her sins and receive of her plagues. And I just can't help but think of that, you know, listening to what you're talking about, Zach, that's what we are to do. You come out of that big system. Now, does that mean we come out of everything about it? No, we can't come out of the world. There, you can't move to the mountains and escape it. There is no escaping it. There's no escaping it in the world. And like you talked about, Zach, this nation of America, of the new JERUSALEM, is the last bastion of hope. It's it. There is the other last Christian nations. Look what's happened to Europe, the UK. It's gone. You know, and it's been invaded by the Muslim hordes, but the debauchery, the sin, the filthiness that has been there the last 30 or 40 years has just been inviting that invasion and that destruction. And Canada, same way. And like you mentioned, Australia, look what's happening to there. That's the last of the white Christian nations, except for this new JERUSALEM. This is it. Where else in the world? The enemy has done a very good job all over. And the word tells us, come out of her, my people, so you will not participate in her sins and receive of her plagues. And Zach, I think that's one way we do it. We choose. We don't just blindly, well, I got to have a car, or I got to go to Home Depot, or I got to buy this, or I got to buy that. No, you don't got to. you choose to, and you can. And you know, we do need to be more selective and more aware of where we spend money. And for these companies that you know, that are just embracing this great reset, this new fourth industrial revolution, the latest and greatest move by the enemies of God, the enemies of Christ, to cram socialism and communism down the throats of Americans and force it on them, come out of her. Don't participate in her sins so you don't receive of her plagues. And we need to be doing that. We do. And people are. People are, like you said, Tim, people coming out of the woodwork. We went down to a neighbor's. They invited us down for Thanksgiving evening a little bit later in the day, and saw a person that used to live in this community, moved away and came back, and they fit that category, Tim. You know, coming out of the woodwork. She had a some, you know, the true American experiment or something like that. Some true that was more truthful about Thanksgiving and the founding of America than you know, than most books. And she'd come to that realization, you know, with the plandemic. She was talking about how their churches had been shut down, how the so-called pastors in the land had failed the people and just abided by the, you know, the mandates and so forth, and had failed their people, and how it turned her back to the Bible and then back to, you know, more accurate historical truths. And so it was encouraging to me to see that, you know, even though it's just one. But they are. They're coming out. People are coming out, doing just what Revelation says, coming out of her, pulling their children out of school. Oh, my gosh. Wait till the school year kicks back in and they see those new numbers. And huge uptick in homeschooling all across the nation. And that's part of putting your money where your mouth is, because they'll, you know, kind of on a rotating basis, when those school numbers are down, that funding will be down, and that will get some people's attention as well. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. If you'd like to call in this Saturday morning, November 27th, and we are coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. And, yeah, that was the headlines I saw. Another, you know, mall shooting, several of those yesterday. Best Buys, Home Depots, Apple stores. Of course, the big Nordstrom's or whatever out in California was looted. But it's just the norm anymore. These smash and grabs. Saw today a shooting in Nashville. 3 dead, 4 wounded. And, you know, I thought, well, they must all be black or it'd be blasted all over the TV. You know, just like, I mean, you just see it all the time. And it's unfortunate. And we've become so accustomed to it. It's just, it's more of the same. It is. And it's just the individual that fit the, you know, the agenda of the left, the agenda of the Antichrist, to get blasted on TV like the Kyle Rittenhouse trial and shooting. That, but that happens all the time. And just like this in Nashville, 3 dead, 4 wounded. They were all in their 20s. You know, they know that, but they're not going to tell you that, oh, it was a white person shooting blacks or blacks shooting whites, or, you know, it's blacks shooting blacks. I mean, it's just, that's how it is. And this will probably just fade away, you know, like the shootings in the big towns, whether it's Denver or Detroit or St. Louis or San Diego. It happens all the time, and it's just part of the new normal. And it's the lawlessness that abounds in our land today. Come out of her. come out of her. Don't receive her plagues.
Yeah, if there's not a time, it's always been this way, but like in my lifetime, if there's not a time to know your Bible and to stand on the Word, like if now's not the time, I don't know when is the time to like really know it and act on it. You know, what we're seeing as far as like the news media and even the preachers out there, I mean, it's just lie after lie after lie after lie. The news media, the Kyle Rittenhouse, you know what this president that's in the White House said about him. You know, he's a white supremacist. I mean, these are all things that I've heard. But it's just lie after lie. I mean, and you even go back a few years ago to where that one kid that was in high school and that Indian was pounding on his drum and they made him look, they defamed that kid so badly. You know, they just lied and lied and lied. And, you know, now CNN's paying him, you know, several hundred millions of dollars and, like, all these, like, it's just lies. And if you don't know the truth, then you can't take the right stand on anything. And if you'd known the truth about certain topics, then, you know, you wouldn't act in a certain way that you did. So that's why it's important, you know. And it's just cutting through all the lies. Because we know, like, what did Jesus say about Satan? About he was a liar from the beginning and a murderer? I mean, it's lies. Yes. Everything is just lying, lying, lying. And, like, people are getting tired of the lies, and people are getting tired of how things are done. And it doesn't even have to be political. You can even go like just with the farming model. I mean, people are starting to realize that it's destroying the land. How the farmers are farming, and like there's no future in it. There's no future. I mean, I'm talking they are destroying the land, and people are starting to wake up to that stuff because why? The people believed a lie. They believed a lie and they were greedy and, you know, everybody went along with it. Well, the time has come to pay, and I believe. And what are we going to do? Are we going to repent to God or are we going to... And if we believe lies, we can't truly repent. We don't know what to do. That's why it's important for the remnant to be acting properly, and you know, get rid of the lies. I mean, it's just nonstop. Turn on the TV, lie.
That's right.
It's just lies nonstop, and I'm tired of hearing them. You know, I mean, you just read one headline, and you're like, oh, it just makes you sick. You know, so I don't know, that's kind of where I'm at. I mean, just I'm tired of the lies. I don't care anymore.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, it's encouraging when, you know, when you have what you kind of always thought of as a Judeo-Christian tell you that, you know, the churches have it all wrong about Romans 13 and obeying the government. You know, and you go, yes, how about that? Yeah. You know, when it just comes up out of the blue. And Tim, again, it's that they're coming out of the woodwork. They are. They're seeing. I think there's a lot of them that are like that. What Zach said, that are tired of the lies, and they're starting to see that the lies are not adding up. I had a person send me a little deal that said Jesus didn't comply. And in Acts 4, Peter and John were commanded to stop preaching the gospel. They didn't comply. They kept going on. And you know, all through the Old Testament, you know, the king of Egypt told the Hebrew midwives to kill the baby boys. They didn't comply, and they were blessed by God. In the book of Esther, John talked about it here not too long ago. You know, Queen Vashti and Queen Esther on kind of different ways, but they didn't comply. Daniel didn't comply when King Darius made a law that you can only pray to the king for 30 days. Daniel didn't comply. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, oh king, we don't need to talk to you about this. We're not going to comply. And they didn't. And we talk about it, you know, a few thousand years later, it still encourages us. And Ecclesiastes 1:9 says, what has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There's nothing new under the sun. And for those that, well, that love him, they're not. They're not going to comply. Not with an ungodly government. Well, let's try the phone lines, guys. Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. It's Anders out in Nebraska.
Good morning, Anders.
So I had a question for you and for Jason. For anybody who wants those messages on Thanksgiving sent electronically, should they email you or should they email Jason?
Either one, it don't matter.
Yeah, we'll get it to you.
Okay. And then the other thing, I was reading this morning and found a verse that I think would be appropriate to share with the remnant. I encourage everybody to read 1 Thessalonians 5 today. It's about the day of the Lord. I'll read a couple verses that stood out just to kind of tease you into reading. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are sons of light and sons of day. We are not of light nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation.
Amen.
And I'll leave you, brothers, at that. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Anders, thank you. Amen. You know, that, Zach, it's like what you said. It's a time to know your Bible, to act on it, to stand on it, to come out of her, to not participate in you know, what Babylon is all about, because it's going down. It's going down. And when you do that, you can, like you said, recognize the lies. You can, therefore, once you can recognize the lies, you can recognize the truth. I'm sure you guys remember, and the remnant out there, if you've listened in for any time, you know, Pastor taught about that years ago, about how they would teach bank tellers and FBI agents and whatnot to recognize counterfeit bills, back when that was a big thing. And the way they do it is that you get the real one out and you study the real one. And you learn what the real one looks like, what it feels like, how it folds, the intricacies, the details of the real thing. And in the instance of counterfeit bills, of the real $20 or $50 or $100 bill. And you get familiar with it, so that if something is presented that's off, maybe a detail's off, maybe the paper is off, maybe the color is off, whatever it may be, that you can recognize it. And I've always remembered that. And that's how it is, like you're talking, Zach, about recognizing the lie and the truth. And if you're not in the Bible, if you're not in the Word to recognize and understand, like you said, the two greatest commandments, love God and love your neighbors yourself. If you don't understand that, you don't recognize that, then when the lie is put out, you don't recognize it as a lie. And now's the time to have that recognition. It really is. If there's ever been a time.
Well, I was looking at that Thanksgiving mail that Jason did and put out, which was excellent, by the way, and I certainly encourage you to, you know, get a copy of it and read it if you have it. If you have, reread it. I hadn't read it for a while, so, but it was kind of odd, because it wasn't maybe an hour later, I was doing some work, and I run across a article on the computer that said, well, what did they really eat during the first Thanksgiving, you know, and how was it, and what was it like? And I thought, well, that ought to be good, you know. And clicked on it, and it was bad. But what amazed me was, as I scanned through it, I didn't spend a lot of time reading it, but because it was exactly what I thought it would be, but was that, turkey wasn't really, you know, what they ate. But then in the body of it, she was doing some quotes, or he was. I really didn't look at who the author was. They were talking about the fact that, they had went out, and according to some of the documentation that was actually there, they'd went out and killed some deer, and they'd went out and killed some wild turkeys and everything else. But turkey wasn't part of the meal, and it was like, well, it says right there it was, you know. I mean, and it occurred to me at that moment that, you know, we have a spirit of resistance that God has given us. The problem with us is we're sheep, and sometimes we're belligerent sheep, and sometimes we carry that spirit of resistance a little too far, and we use it against our God. We forget about that line there. And, we resist those things. You have that spirit of resistance rise up in God's people about things. Why do I have to do that? What makes you God? You know, I mean, I could think of a lot of comments there that go on in them. And Thomas Jefferson, and they had the same thing going on when this country was founded. You know, Thomas Jefferson's quote, resistance to tyranny is service to God. You know, I mean, we see these tyrannical acts all around us right now. Everything from business to healthcare. And we see all that going on. And God made us salty. We have that salt. And, like I say, the problem is sometimes we go a little too far with it, and a little salt leavens the whole lump. A little bit leavens the whole lump of leaven. But also, he says when you lose your saltiness, you're good for nothing to be thrown in the street. But if you exercise the salt too much, you throw the whole dish out. You know what I mean? If it's over salted and so salty that it's inedible, why? You get rid of the whole thing. So there's a kind of go back to my moderation point that I'm always harping on, but there's a moderate, God likes that middle of the road thing. You need to know when to use it, and you need to know when not to. And that's what we're learning right now. There's a whole bunch of people there who need to learn how to use the salt, you know, and the real issue is once we learn how to use it, let's don't forget that when we hit that point of God's domain, that the resistance stops and the resilience starts. That's when you say, yes, God, your way. That's what we want. We want your liberty. We want your blessing. And blessed is the name of the Lord. And there's that constant balance point there that has to be maintained between those two things. And I think we're seeing that. I think we're seeing it go on around us all the time, and praise the Lord it's going on. But, that's just part of it. I think that's part of that rebirth of godly and national pride and godly sovereignty in the world today. And it will probably start here. I'm sure it will start here, just like a good number of things started here as regards God's kingdom.
Amen. That discipline is coming. It is. You know, Hebrews 12:10 says he, meaning God, disciplines us for good, for our good, so that we may share his holiness. And that, if you don't read your word, when discipline comes, when things come that are disciplined, you don't recognize it for what it is. And you may even have people in your Judeo church that'll say, you're being punished. Yep, you did wrong. You're being punished. That's what it is. And that's not really how our God is for those that try. Hebrews 12:10 tells us he disciplines us for our good so that we may share his holiness. And that's just throughout the word, that he's like a, what father, if he loves his son doesn't discipline him. That proves his love. It shows his love. And more and more people are seeing that. Unfortunately, I don't think, I think more are going to have more discipline to see that in this land. Because that's what it's going to take. We're in it. We've still got some time left. 307-745-5913. If you'd like to, if you have a comment or a question, and coming to you this Saturday after Thanksgiving. You know, Zach, you mentioned about plenty of work available. It seems that way everywhere. When I'm in Colorado, it's that way. You see the help wanted signs here in Wyoming. You just see them everywhere. And it's almost disheartening when you see, you know, especially you try to go out somewhere, you order parts. I've got car parts ordered. You know, who knows when they'll be in. And a lot of it is due to staffing issues all over the country. I don't know if the people have just gotten lazy or just they can make more money staying home.
Personally, I think a lot of it is, like, I'm seeing, like, signs, you know, they're offering, and they'll put a dollar amount per hour. And, you know, I mean, it's pretty reasonable, I guess. Me, I kind of come from the background, you know, until I got over 40 hours in a week, then I was finally getting paid what I was worth, so I had to put 40 hours in. And if, I don't know if many people know much about my history, but I was always beyond 40. And I simply had to do that in order just to survive and my family to survive. And the reason why I bring that up, you know, you got to offer somebody something to that way they can, beyond just breaking even. And I think that those numbers that they're throwing out there, people are just breaking even. And, well, that's really no fun just to break even. I don't know. I know a lot of companies, and then they don't want to pay them overtime. But I've been, like, the circles that I run, nobody that I've ever been with has ever been afraid of overtime. Right. And I don't, I mean, so I'm kind of talking a little bit like, you know, but I just, yeah, there's a lot of work out there for them, you know, but I think they got to bump it up a little bit just because it's pretty miserable just breaking even and working your butt off. And I don't think people want to do that. That's my personal opinion. And I don't know, I might get crucified for that, but I don't know. I know what it takes to survive. And, you know, if you're going to be an employee, you really got to, you at least got to try. I don't know. Maybe I'm out of line there a little bit. I don't know. But that's kind of the way I see it as well. You know, you got to try and you got to start somewhere. But, you know, I see people starting to where not too long ago where I was, too. So I don't know. Inflation's going up and, I don't know, maybe people just don't want to fight it. I don't know. It's weird. It really is weird. I don't know if anybody's got any other thoughts on it. I'm curious.
Well, I certainly don't think you're wrong, Zach. I mean, my thinking on it is if you look at the problem is there's all these adjustments, they call that inflation, like you said, on the things that go on money matters as far as the prices of goods and services. But it seems like the, what do you want to call it? The labor, the Bible uses the word laborers, and that's a really broad spectrum word, but those haven't had very many corrections. I mean, $100, back in the early 60s, if you looked at it as a $100 value, and that's basically a lot of our lifetime that spans up to current days. today it's worth, that same $100 will only buy about $10 worth of product, you know. So,
yeah.
You know, and wages, if you look at them, the reason I went to the 60s was because of the fact, or the early 60s, was because of the fact that wages really haven't come up that much since the 60s. You know, they haven't really changed. So, you know, they don't really adjust wages up. They'll come up with some benefit package or something along those lines. That's all hokum. You know, it's just a matter of smoke and mirrors. Like, they're really giving you something, but really they're not. You know, you can't make the deductible, or you can't collect on that unless you stay there 30 years or whatever. You know, and it's all to benefit them. It doesn't really benefit you. Right above the boss's name on that check, the part that you use to actually take care of the people that you're out there doing the work for, like you say, your family, you know. And so I think this is kind of a godly correction on some of those things. And we know the Bible says in Matthew that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And, you know, we look at that as a scriptural admonition for the kingdom, but the underlying message may be it's that way in the reality of the world around you too. And you know, we've got a lot of unskilled people in the workforce today by design. And so if you have some skills, why, they're trying to find some people with skills, and we don't have a lot of those. And so that's just my take.
I think the people with the lack of skills, I mean, you know, you don't have the small business like you used to. My older brother was telling me for every 10 businesses that shut down, and what I mean by that, people retire, and there's nobody there to take their place and to continue that business going. For every 10 businesses that retire, there's only one private business to take its place. Now, that's scary. We have an issue. And so you don't have that training, that family business, that training going on like you used to. You know, both of my parents came from a dairy farm. They could change spark plugs, flat tires. They could change knives on hay mowers. I mean, it didn't matter. They could do it, you know. And you look at some of these kids, I mean, they know how to play Call of Duty really good, but you get them on a lawnmower, you get a flat tire, they're hosed, you know. Why? Because the need for that child to participate in that business is gone. It's gone. And who gave it up? This is a generational thing. And, you know, so that's kind of the mentality that I'm in. Like, you know, I'm doing some different things. I'm doing things differently. Why? It's not necessarily for me. It's because I want to help other young guys create those small businesses to start it over. And my children, myself, my own children. It's not just my own children. It's all these younger guys. Because them younger people, they're smart. They handle information better than any generation that we know of before. And when the need comes, they have the potential to whoop our butts business-wise. And we need to cultivate that. That's my opinion.
Good point.
And what I mean by handling information better than anybody, I mean, they know how to run computers, and they know how to do QuickBooks, and everything is right down to the very penny of these things that's going on here. And these younger people, they walk through it. I'm a knuckle dragger. I don't know anything about any of that stuff. But those people, they know how to do it. And when you give them a little bit of work ethic and a little bit of knowledge, they have the potential to take off and prosper unlike anything we've ever seen. I really believe that. And we need to start not being so mean to these young guys and telling them how worthless they are, is because we haven't trained them.
That's true. And I've been in that too, saying the same thing that you're saying, Zach, that if you don't like the way they are, then do something about it. But as far as the information angle goes, my opinion is that that's great. What they're missing is the picture of motivation to go out there and do some physical aspects of it too, which are, it's a balanced approach. You know, it's not only that part, you've also got to be able to go to a counter and go look parts up and do different things and put them on it. And it's like you said, your books were very, and I think that's what they're missing. They've learned this one part really well. Now they need the opportunity to learn the rest, and we need help them with that. So.
That's right. It is. Well, guys, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us this morning. Sure good having everybody on. And Remnant, we thank you for tuning in to Coffee with the Wranglers. And we want to invite you to church. We'll have church tomorrow, starting Sunday morning, starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, at 7:30 out on the West Coast. And we'll have a little bit of everything for you. And we just want you to join us to hear the Word and to share with the Word and to praise our Heavenly Father. And you can do that at scripturesforamerica.org. Click on and just click there and you'll see the live video stream. And starting in the morning, we'll have that. So we thank you all. And guys, we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 rolling,
rolling,
stay
high. Ha! Ha! Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, Snake High. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
snake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, Snake High. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, Snake High.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, Snake High.